phenomenology, some botanics. How does, do they occur, when, under which circumstances, and in particular, where? Afterwards, we're going to talk about a bit of how we explain them and what physics we can extract from it, in particular, from which basic principles we can derive them. And if I still have time afterwards, I would like to show you some fascinating astrophysics examples of mirages where the physical reason is a bit different, but the underlying principle is the same and the phenomenon itself as well. Okay, that's the archetypical example, perhaps. A desert, which we see fake images of, here it is a mountain or whatever, an oasis that fools the wanderer into his certain death from starvation, because he thinks that there is an oasis, that it looks so there, but actually isn't. It is just a phantom image. Actually, mirages are much more frequent on the ocean, particularly in the Antarctic zones. Here you can see something from the Antarctic. These are mountains that are strangely mirrored below. This is called an inferior mirage for obvious reasons, because the mirrored image, the distorted image, is below the real one. And yeah, it looks kind of spooky, like kind of icebergs hovering above the horizons. Yeah, this is the other example of a mirage where the fake image is above the real image. This is, of course, then called a superior mirage. There are also phenomena in which multiple images can occur, and these then are usually called Fata Morganas. There are many things that can be seen. By the way, we will talk about this line in a second. Yeah. This is something to show you how futile this phenomenon can be. This is an island offshore San Francisco, I think. And you can see pretty well how this optical phenomenon reshapes itself over the time and finally vanishes and reappears again and vanishes. So it is not a wonder that in ancient times, humans have believed that this is kind of a trick of some higher power, gods or demons trying to fool us, or witches, which we, of course, now know that it is not, but the thought was quite near to ancient times when people did not have geometrical optics. Well, they were forced into believing so. Yeah, that is perhaps something everyone has seen. Mirages are much more mundane today that we build roads. On hot days, there can be hot air above roads. This is actually a picture I took on Monday at a parking lot. And you can easily see that here, obviously, there is mirroring something. Just to show you, to prove you that I do not just photograph a puddle or some kind of strange shade, this is from some degrees above. Here we can see another feature of mirages, namely that they are very sensitive to the angle we are looking at. It's some degrees, and we the phenomenon has almost vanished apart from just at the edge. Yeah. Another nice example. Not only is the sun, bless you, not only is the sun reshaped in a strange way, you can also see three black dots here. One of which is a sunspot, and the other two of which are images, mirages of this sunspot. Yeah, that's enough with phenomenology. Let's go into the physics. But first of all, these are properties that all these phenomena have sort of in common. We see multiple images, or parts of them, that are usually stacked vertically above or below each other. And this already should hint us in the direction that this has to do something with air layers stacked on top of each other. That usually these mirages are only visible very, very close to the horizon, or if you look at a hot street from a very, very sharp angle. And these images where a Fata Morgana stretches over the half of the sky or whatever, it never looks like that. Always just 1 degree above the horizon, maximum. And the weather conditions are crucial, because wind can easily destroy the air layers that create this mirroring phenomenon. And therefore, it must be pretty wind still. And the temperature must be right as well. in Arctic zones, it usually occurs when it's particularly cold, and in deserts, usually when it's particularly hot. Yeah, that is also the reason why it is that unstable, because weather tends to change. Okay, physics. Geometrical optics. In the ancient times, when people believed that light propagates along rays, there was a clever guy, Pierre de Fermat, who formulated an axiom, namely that light rays always take the path that yields the shortest runtime. Not the shortest path is decisive, but the fastest path is decisive. So if this path takes a shorter runtime than the other two, then light only walks along this path and not along the other ones. From today's vantage point, we know that this is not exactly correct. Namely, there are two cavets, this word locally and the plural s. Locally means a path which is locally fastest. If I take this path and draw a path that is slightly disturbed around it, then there is no possibility to make the path faster. All that slightly perturbed paths are slower, and thus every locally shortest path is a local minimum of runtime. Now, but that means that there can be many local minima. For example, if this is a locally shortest path, fastest path, this is a locally shortest, fastest path, then in principle, we can see at the point B two or even more images of the point A. By the way, Pierre de Fermat's principle was pretty important in the history of mechanics, as Hamilton, for example, formulated his principle of least action in exact analogy to this. And from today's point, we know that it is exactly the same. Yes, but let's not go too deep into that. Let's take this as a first principle. Okay, propagation of light through a medium in which it is slowed down by factor 1 over n. Now, we can simply calculate the runtime as a function of the path. It's simply an integral of refractive index n along the path, which can, of course, in principle, be space dependent. And in the situations that we are interested in, it actually is. Hot air has got a smaller refractive index than cold air, simply because it is not as dense. N minus 1, typically of the order 10 to the minus 3, is still proportional to the density of the air, and thus inversely proportional to the temperature. Now, imagine that I've got a hot air layer here and a cold air layer here. If I want to propagate a light ray from here to here, it can be profitable for the light ray not to take the direct path, but to take a slightly longer path into the region where it is fast. So let it accelerate, make big part of the path there where it is fast, and then return to the point. Somewhere in between will be the minimum. That is why light rays are bent towards warm air. Somehow light rays are attracted by warm air. And that is exactly the situation that we have when we want to see mirages. For example, this is the classical highway mirage, the image I showed you at the parking lot. Here, this light ray is locally minimal due to the fact that here it is much faster than above. So now, this observer believes that light propagates along straight rays, as we have no other chance of believing, and as we are accustomed to, believes that there is a kind of mirrored image of the sky above on the road or on the sand. Yeah, that is the most frequent example. If we want to have a superior mirage, we need a certain weather condition, namely a kind this meteorological condition as inversion weather. Usually, air becomes colder when I move up, but in some conditions, it can even be warmer. Let's not go into the meteorology of that. Simply state we have got a warm air layer here, cold air layer here, and the difference between them is usually quite sharp. So now, these cool air sort of traps the layers because they are always bent back into the cool air layer. So what happens here is that this cool air layer somehow acts as kind of a waveguide for these arrays, sort of a, well, you can fiberglass, something like that. The light rays have got difficulties to leave it. And so we get bent images that are, in this case, even reversed. Now, if we just have a look back at this superior mirage, we can see the inversion layer pretty well. Around here, this is typical for superior mirages that we can see the inversion layer. Yeah, back to physics. Yeah, exactly. This phenomenon of trapping the light rays is also called tropospheric ducting, because the troposphere is the atmospheric layer it is found in. And yeah, that is, that is to earthly mirages. As I said, there are mirages not only on Earth, but also in the heavens. And I personally find them even more fascinating. The reason is a different one, because not only the propagation through an inhomogeneous medium can affect, can bend light rays, but also the propagation through an inhomogeneous space-time, namely when it is curved near massive bodies. The phenomenon is exactly the same. We can see multiple images. It is, in this context, called strong gravitational lensing. I've got three examples that I would like to show you. First one is Einstein arcs. You can see among, so this is a galaxy field, of a galaxy cluster, and here you see somewhat strangely distorted images that appear to be galaxies but somehow do not look like. The point is that these are mirages of galaxies that sit somewhere here. And due to the gravitational field of this galaxy in the front, they are distorted to these images. Another even more impressive example, this is a quasar some million light years away, where we do not see one center, but somehow five centers that are all mirages of one and the same center in the middle. It's just one galaxy in front that we do not see here that distorts the light rays across at its edge so that we can see it. Yeah, last example from astrophysics, Old Faithful. This is another quasar. We see two quasars, A and B, that somehow are strangely related. They have got the same spectrum. They've got the same redshift. So it is now commonly accepted that these are two images of exactly the same quasar. Very cool feature of this system is if we see something on quasar A, for example, it goes boom. Exactly 517 plus minus 3 days later, quasar B does exactly the same. So here we can exactly observe the runtime difference between two stationary paths that basically come to us across half of the universe. And that is dubbed after Old Faithful. Quite a cool astrophysical system, I believe. Yeah, what is the moral of all that? I believe it is a wonderful example of how physics has shaped our worldview and of how we had to think of mirages and Fata Morganas as kind of gods are playing tricks on us and we are kind of given to their mercy and have to offer stuff to them so that they are merciful on us. And science has somewhat illuminated this view in a very nice fashion. And this is no optics pun intended, but it shows us how science works and how science makes our lives as humans perhaps a bit happier and lets us be fascinated about nature, but not to be afraid about nature. Thank you.
Time for probably one or two questions. Are there any questions to
you said that you can see mirages of mountains.
in lizards? How does that happen? Which method? Because yeah.
Well, that depends. Both methods can
yeah,
be.
Yeah, so that many images. Oops,
or... That, for example, is a typical highway mirage.
Okay, so that's
if, if this is the original image, then we see kind of a distorted mirror view downstairs.
Yeah, I meant the
One before.
Here we, not this one, but further forward. This one.
This one. I would say it is a highway mirage as well.
Oh, so is there actually a mountain there somewhere?
There is an island. That is an island offshore San Francisco.
Okay,
and these images are fake images of that one. It's very blurry and not exactly visible, but yeah, I would say it's a highway mirage.
So it's always based on some real object and then just images.
Yeah, yeah. There must be something to be viewed.
So, yeah.
Okay, officially it is not always possible to distinguish the real image and the fake image because, in a way, both are real. That is why mirages are not exactly optical illusions. Both light paths are on the same footing, but sometimes the one is way stronger than the other. Mm-hmm. And then we can say, but not usually.
Okay, let's thank our speaker again. The next speaker is Alice.